As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey there! Welcome to Seventh Heaven, a lesbian recap. I'm Lindsay, and I'm joined by my co-host and real-life partner, Carling. We're diving into the 90s hit drama through today's lens.
Get ready for our off-the-cuff commentary and peeling back the layers of the Camden family. We'll tackle everything from family rules, life lessons, and 90s fashion.
Join us every week for a lighthearted queer perspective and a trip down memory lane.
Whether you're a diehard fan or new to the show, this recap is for you.
So find us anywhere you get your podcasts at Seventh Heaven, a lesbian recap.
Hey there. Welcome to Seventh Heaven, a lesbian recap. I'm Lindsay, and I'm joined by my co-host and real-life partner, Carling. We're diving into the 90s hit drama through today's lens.
Get ready for our off-the-cuff commentary and peeling back the layers of the Camden family. We'll tackle everything from family rules, life lessons, and 90s fashion.
Join us every week for a lighthearted queer perspective and a trip down memory lane.
Whether you're a diehard fan or new to the show, this recap is for you.
Hi.
Hey. How are you?
I'm good.
We're a little bit late in getting this episode out, but it's been a bit of a week.
Yeah.
It's been a crazy week. Yeah. We both had kind of crazy Wednesdays, and we're now in the middle of a snowstorm. And to be clear, it is March 1st, so no matter when anybody's listening to this.
Yeah.
But you know what they say?
I don't.
In like a lion, out like a lamb.
I guess. I don't know.
So that means we're going to have a really nice end to March.
Yeah. What did the groundhog say?
I can't remember.
Me neither. Also, our groundhog is not even a real groundhog. It's somebody in a costume. Did you know that?
No, I didn't. Okay. Whoops. I accidentally just muted us.
I glanced down while I was talking to see if the microphone was muted. Oh. We are not prepared today.
But we're healthy.
Happening. Yeah.
And this was kind of a doozy of an episode.
Yeah, it was an emotional roller coaster.
It was.
Okay. Season 2, episode 17, Nothing Endures But Change. March 2nd. Oh my God, that's tomorrow.
Oh, that's so wild.
God, we're so close.
Do you want to just stop and record tomorrow?
Yeah. We should have just been like, it's March 2nd.
Yeah, okay. So today's March 2nd. So random.
1998. Lucy's friend is killed in a tragic car accident, and Lucy feels that she is to blame. So, I don't know if listeners know that we have a Patreon, but we do.
We do.
And over there, we've done some deep dives into some characters, and we deep dived into Beverly Mitchell.
Mm-hmm. Who plays Lucy.
And so she had a friend pass away in a car accident in real life.
Yes.
R-I-L. And so this is like an episode tribute to that friend.
I almost corrected you to be like, no, it's R-I-P.
In real life.
R-I-P-I-R-L.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I guess natural shout out to our Patreon. We've got, we're delayed in getting a new episode out,
I know,
but
sorry.
It's okay. It is your fault. But, but yeah, you can join by going onto Patreon and looking up A Lesbian Recap. And we are deep diving into the actors who play the kids right now, the Camden kids.
Yeah.
And there's some really interesting things that I didn't realize.
Yeah, same.
So, I don't want to give it all away.
I know. You didn't even have Barry Watson's name right.
You're right. I didn't. That's not his real name.
I know. And JT and JB have got a crazy prenup.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay, so this episode...
Should we just talk about, like, Simon and Ruthie and...
Oh, yeah. Get the heck out of here. So, yeah.
Yeah.
I thought it was really awkward. So there's a scene that starts this storyline where Annie is making finger puppets with Ruthie.
I wrote, Annie and Ruthie making weird finger puppets.
Yeah. And it's like paper and yarn and googly eyes. And I guess they're trying to, like, they're making one finger puppet for each member of the family. But it just seems a little off brand because Ruthie is in grade one now and she's kind of interacting with her like she's three.
I mean, she was stuffing her bra last episode, so maybe she's trying to bring her down a notch.
Yeah, the producers were like, you need to age her down. She's just a child.
Maybe they got some like negative feedback, some PR.
Do you think feedback came out that fast?
I guess you couldn't. Yeah, you couldn't really send an email.
No, you'd have to like write a letter, post it, send it. Someone's going to have to open it.
You could probably call.
Oh, that's true. They probably had a 1-800 number. 1-800 7th Heaven.
1-8-7.
Yeah. And so they're playing finger puppets. And then Simon comes down in a rage and says Ruthie ruined his volcano science project. So it's like a paper mache thing.
Also, Simon, pick something better. Everyone makes a volcano.
Like maybe the project was volcanoes.
Maybe.
We don't know.
I don't know. So they like, they start getting into it. They fought like brother and sister for once in this episode.
Yeah.
Simon says, well, maybe I should have moved my room last year like I was going to. And Ruthie's like, do it.
Yeah. And so this, if you guys remember from season one, I feel like Annie started to renovate the attic to put Simon up there because Ruthie and him were going to like not share rooms anymore.
Yeah.
I just think, like, why not put Matt up there from the get-go? Because he's the oldest.
And it's the sweetest room. I'd be up there in a heartbeat.
Yeah. Do you want me to build something for you up in our attic?
Yeah, that's where I want to be.
This office where we record, there's the little attic.
Hatch. We don't have a real attic, though.
What do we have?
Like, we just have, like, a space full of insulation.
Sounds cozy.
Yeah.
Sounds itchy.
It's very itchy. A lot of fiberglass up there.
And so it's decided that Simon and Ruthie are going to change rooms or move. And he is so scared of the attic still. That's why he didn't go up there the first time.
But he's in now, instead of acting scared, he's doing that thing where he's mad.
Yeah.
And so he's like slamming things in boxes and being like, not only do I have to rebuild my science project, now I got to move. Like,
in anger, there is fear. We just learned that on Call the Midwife season two.
You know what's so funny? I was like, was that in the Seventh Heaven episode we just watched? No, it was in the
Call the Midwife. It was Sister Bernadette, and she said, in anger, there is fear. So put that in your pipe, Simon.
No, Sister Bernadette smoking a cigarette.
Yeah. Okay, so it ends up, so then Simon's like, Matt, you could have the attic. And Matt's like, yeah, okay, that's fine. I'm only going to be here till the fall because then I'm going to go to college.
And the entire time, Ruthie has these finger puppets on her fingers and she's talking in finger puppet voice.
It's not great.
It's the most annoying thing in the world.
Not as annoying as Billy. We're going to get into that. But so, yeah. So the whole thing, they're moving rooms. Matt's moving into the attic. Annie is sad that Matt wants to go to college out of state.
Yeah.
And she's like, I just thought like you could live here through college. And like maybe they haven't really said it yet, but he's going to go into pre-med. He can't live there till he's 30.
Yeah, no, they haven't said that. He's like talking about, he doesn't even know what he's going to get into. Yeah. But he is like studying really hard. So maybe that's a surprise. Spoiler alert.
Yeah.
So Simon moves into Ruth. I don't know. Okay. Like you just said, why wasn't Matt moving to the attic in the first place? Because we also find out.
Mm-hmm. Big news.
Like, this has been some camera trickery. Simon and Ruthie's room and Matt's room share a pocket door.
Yeah, it's like an adjoining room.
Yeah.
Why?
Like,
since when?
Since today.
We need to go back in season one and find a few clips of where that bedroom. There's a
secret door.
Yeah.
It's weird. And so they're shooting in and at an angle where you can see what is another bedroom, which is Simon and Ruthie's. This is from Matt's room, and out into the hallway. And I was like, they've never shot from this angle before. Yeah. I don't understand. And so
we make note of every angle they shoot from.
It's true.
And can confirm it's never been done.
And so, but what that means is they're going to sleep with this little door open.
Yeah.
And then for it's like Ruthie. They still share a room.
Right.
For Ruthie.
Right. Me and my sister it was the 90s, got one of these phones where it must have had a cord. I'm trying to think how we must have done it. But it was from room to room, but it was like you could pick up one end and hear it through the other.
Most phones are like
that. As you do with a telephone. But it wasn't like a real phone. It was just...
What are you talking about?
Me and my sister had a phone in our rooms,
okay.
But it wasn't like a plugged into a phone jack phone. It was just the two phones.
Oh, just so the two of you could communicate.
Yes.
That's fun.
I don't think she thought it was as fun. I thought it was great because I was the little sister. But
yeah. I shared a room with my brother till I was 10. Same thing. Bunk bed situation, just like Simon and Ruthie. I'm the oldest. I get the top bunk.
Of course.
Those are the rules.
Yeah.
And then I got my own room. This is a very similar situation. We lived in a big three-story house, and so all the bedrooms were up on the top floor. And then two stories away was my bedroom, now down in the basement.
Yeah.
And my mom got me like a baby monitor because she was all nervous about me dying in a fire down there.
And so she thought if there was a baby monitor, she could watch it?
Like, they weren't video monitors. This was 1998.
I see. Like, what was the protocol, Barb?
Not 1998. This was, how old was I? 1992.
Yeah.
Just like, so I don't know if I needed, I could call out, help.
Mama.
And then she would have been like, what's up? No, they weren't even walkie-talkie. It's 1992.
Oh, so you calling out would just, she would hear it on the baby monitor.
Yeah, or maybe I was like,
but
whimpering.
Then she'd have to come.
I don't know.
Like 10 years old whimpering. But then she'd have to come all the way down.
All the way down.
Through the fire.
Yeah, to save me.
Yeah.
They were way up on the third floor with a sketchy ladder. I'm the one that was going to get out alive.
Mama, can you hear me? Oh, boy. Okay, so Eric ends up helping Simon do his paper mache volcano. In the end, is fixed. Matt's upstairs. Simon likes his new room. All is good in the world.
Yeah. Pocket door.
Yeah. Mary. Dramatic. Wilson phones. And she gets all, takes it in her room. Because if you recall, they broke up.
Yeah. Wait. So they broke up originally because Wilson is saying he doesn't want to get too many feelings for her
and accidentally
have sex. Like, Wilson, you've already accidentally had sex once. You know it's not an accident now.
Whoops.
Oop, how'd that get in there?
Oh.
So that was the original reason for the breakup.
Yes.
And now, like, 8 episodes have gone by or something. Wilson's back. So,
but no, but he's not back. He phones. He's like, hey, Mary, it's Wilson. Listen, I don't know who else to ask, but my parents are out of town. My grandparents are sick and I'm going to a dance and I want to take my date, but I don't have a babysitter.
When you accidentally impregnate someone, you don't get to go to all the dances. Maybe you have to stay home and miss out on things because you have an infant and you're in high school.
Like that? Yeah, that's kind of what I thought. But he called Mary, and so she was like, okay. So she goes to his house to babysit so that he can go on a date to the prom with another girl.
Mm-hmm.
And all I wrote was, I said, Billy, terrible actor. I wrote...
Billy, wreaking havoc.
Yeah, so Billy is like, how old? 2? What do you think that
kid
is?
Yeah, I think he's 2.
So he's 2, not cute. And Mary gets there, and as soon as Wilson leaves, he starts screaming.
So Mary freaks out and calls Annie to ask for help.
Yeah.
And they're up in the attic talking to Matt or Simon. It's a whole thing.
Yeah.
But Eric brings the phone up and hands it to Annie because Mary wants to talk to her. And then he's in her face. Like, Eric's in Annie's face. Yeah. Like, what?
Like, get out of here.
Get out of here. It's not for you.
Yeah.
And so then it cuts back to Mary. And she's, like, digging through the fridge because Annie says, maybe he's teething. Give him a popsicle. And she turns around. Who gave him chocolate sauce?
Yeah. So this kid, Billy, has a tube, like a
squeeze bottle.
Squeezy of chocolate sauce, and has poured it all over the coffee table.
Yeah, like he's sitting on the coffee table, caked in chocolate sauce.
Yeah, and like I know if you look away for a minute, you know, they say like, oh, kids can get into things, but who gave him the chocolate sauce?
Yeah, like he's in the living room. Who left the chocolate sauce in the living room, Wilson?
Yeah, we don't know what Wilson's parents do after dark. Well,
yeah. That's how you get pregnant.
They're obviously terrible parents because they allowed their son to impregnate a young lady.
Mm-hmm.
So it goes horribly. Wilson ends up coming home at like 9 instead of midnight. And he's like, oh, like I wasn't having any fun. So I left. I don't like a girl that I can't be honest with. And if I can't tell
her. Oh, yeah, because she won't tell her parents that he's Billy. Got Billy.
Yeah. So she was like, "See, you drove her home at 9 o'clock. And he's like, no, I left her there. And then he says, it's so funny. He says, it's an all boys school. She's having a great time.
like,
oh, okay.
Now who's going to end up pregnant?
Yeah. Oh, careful.
Oh, God. So then, okay, should we talk about Lucy and then we'll wrap up with Wilson at the end?
Well, it
because he's it at ends, the end of her
yeah,
story.
I mean, it just comes out that he still has feelings for Lucy, Mary, and he wishes that they could still be together. So,
yeah. But he says that his real reason for breaking up with her wasn't because of the sex. It was because he was afraid that if he gets too close to somebody that he loves them, that they're going to die because his first baby mama died in childbirth.
Like, you have to unpack that in therapy.
They do.
Wilson. Oh, you're right. Okay. Touché.
Okay. So, Lucy.
Lucy, Lucy, Lucy.
So, Lucy, it starts off there at school.
With her best friend, Sarah.
Yeah, her best friend, Sarah.
We've never met.
No.
Of all the friends we theorized might die, Sarah didn't exist in this.
No, and it's interesting because, like, one of the reasons, I mean, the storyline wouldn't have made much sense with the whole, like, her not being allowed to go out with them because the parents haven't met
them.
That's
true. So they were newer friends.
Yeah. And then Sarah's got a sister named Jen.
Older sister, same age as Mary.
Yes. And she's played by Marla Sokoloff.
Okay.
And she's in a whole bunch of stuff. She was in a few episodes of Party of Five.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match. With Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
She was in one episode of Home Improvement, which I vaguely remember, I think.
I do remember that.
She was in the Babysitter's Club movie. She was in Freaky Friday, the original one.
Oh, yeah, Full House. She played DJ's friend in Full House?
Yeah, where did you see Full House?
I don't know, somewhere down there. No, go the other way.
Yeah, she played DJ's friend.
Oh, Boy Meets World, Step by Step. Yeah.
Okay,
she did the whole...
Gia. She was Gia in Full House.
Yes.
This is where I also remember her from.
Gia.
And I think she might have maybe made a resurgence in the new Full House.
But... And you said she was in Friends. She played Joey's sister?
Yeah, she played one of Joey's sisters, Dina Tribbiani, in 2001.
She's one of those actors that, like, she's so recognizable.
Yeah.
That as soon as you see her, you're like, oh, yeah, I saw her in da-da-da-da.
Yeah. She's in, like, one episode of CSI New York. She's in a whole bunch of one-episoders, two episodes of
Grey's Anatomy.
Yeah, so she's around. Oh, yeah, there we go. Fuller House. She's in 11 episodes.
Wow.
Gia Mahan.
Okay.
Anyways.
So she was in the, so she plays Jen, Sarah's older sister. And so
Jen is Mary's age and Sarah is Lucy's age, mm-hmm. 14 and 16.
So Sarah's like, Lucy, we should hang out later. Let's go ask my sister if she wants to come. And Sarah and Jen are best friends. They're sisters. They're best friends. They do everything together. And Jen just got her driver's license. And the girls are like, hey, Lucy, why don't you come to Paul's Pizza with us tonight? And I'll drive because I have my license now. And is it Jen, the older sister?
Jen's the older one.
But she says, oh, yeah, I'll let you drive. I let her drive all the time.
Yeah. So she's letting the 14-year-old sister, Sarah, drive all the time. Like, not great. Don't drive without a driver's license, guys.
Foreshadowing. It's not great.
So Lucy's like, sure, I'll get my sister to come. And then it'll be like a sister-sister thing. And so they get back to the house. Lucy's begging her parents to go. She's begging Mary to go. Mary originally says she is going to go, but then Wilson calls. And so she backs out.
Yeah.
So Lucy's pissed at her about that.
But Annie's whole thing is, I have never met these girls. I'm not letting you get in a car with someone who just got their license and driving around. She said, you can go, but we're driving you there and we will pick you up.
Yeah.
And so she's like, okay, fine. Yeah,
that's a good compromise.
So when Lucy phones Sarah to say, okay, it's a go, but I have to meet you there. Sarah's like, oh, okay. Well, we were actually deciding instead of pizza, we're going to drive 30 miles away, which I don't know how far that is. What's 30 miles?
It's
how many kilometers is that?
Like a kilometer is longer than a mile. No. Hold on. How many kilometers is 30 miles?
I found this on the web.
48 kilometers.
Okay, so a decent ways away.
50K, it's like across the city, our city.
Yeah. So she's like, we're to a drive-in burger place. And Lucy's like, oh, shoot. And then Jen, big sister, such a big good idea. She's like, it's no big deal. Why don't you just meet us at the pizza place? We'll pick you up and I'll take you out there. It's no big deal. And Lucy's like, great. It's no big deal.
I'll have you back to the pizza place before 9. Nobody's going to know the difference.
Nobody's going
to
know. What's the harm?
Ugh.
Yeah. So Matt drops her off and he's like, go wait inside for them. Don't be out here by yourself.
But wait, Sarah and Jen are at the pizza place first. Mm. And they, first of all, it's a brand new red convertible Mustang that Jen is driving. Like, who are you?
Yeah, she's Jen.
And so they're like, oh, she's late. And they're like, well, we need gas anyways. So they decide they're going to go get gas and then come back and get Lucy. All things that would be solved by a cell phone, but it's 1998.
Right. So Lucy gets dropped off. She's waiting. She's looking around. They're not there yet. So she just sits on the bench and...
She just sits on the bench and then it just pans away from her. And then the next scene is Matt rushing home. This is where the storyline takes a weird.
What? Why?
Okay. So there's a car accident and he, so, okay. Matt says, I got into the library and I don't know, old man librarian said to me, there's been an accident and it's Lucy's friends from school. And I tried to get back to the pizza place to get Lucy, but the traffic was too backed up. I couldn't get anywhere near the place. I just think, I don't know.
Like, what is a detective? What?
Like, it's weird that he just went back home without Lucy. Sit in the traffic jam.
Yeah, fair. I mean, I think he just panicked.
I guess.
Yeah. So, yeah. So he says there was a big accident. Somebody got taken to hospital. I didn't see who it was, but there was only one person. And
I think he does know that one of them died, too.
Mm. So then Constable Sergeant
Michaels
is at the door just as they're getting ready to leave to go get Lucy or to go look for her at Paul's Pizza. And Sergeant Michaels is like, there was an accident and Sarah died. This is where we learn that it was Sarah that died and Jen got taken in serious condition to the hospital.
And that Sarah was driving.
And that Sarah, the 14-year-old, was driving.
Because as they're pulling away from the restaurant, the pizza place, to go get the gas, Jen's like, it's just down the road. It'll just be a second. And Sarah's like, and then you can let me drive on the way back.
Yeah.
Ooh.
So they were like, what about Lucy? And he's like, no, she wasn't with them. And they're like, oh God, we got to get to Paul so fast. But then Sergeant Michaels is like, Eric, I'm wondering if you can come with me to deliver the news. Like, so like add this to his resume, his CV,
like put the one police officer in town doesn't show up at the Reverend's door to go deliver. Maybe in 1803, he would have rolled up on his horse.
What if they're Jewish? What if they're atheist? What if they're non-denominational Christians?
I know this just seemed like very like cowboy small town situation to me.
Yeah. I mean, it's Glen Oak. So Sergeant Michaels and Eric pull up to this house just as the parents are getting home from maybe a date night or something.
Yeah.
And I also thought it was weird that Eric took the lead on the conversation. Like, I would have thought the official person, the police officer, needed to be the one to deliver the devastating news.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, maybe the pastor would be there in sort of a supporting role.
Yeah, like, do you need Jesus at this time? Kind of situation.
Should I call on our Lord and Savior Jesus?
Knock, knock, knock.
Because I have an inn and you could use it. And so then Annie in the other car goes to Paul's Pizza, sees Lucy just sitting on the bench, and Lucy's like, oh my God, I can explain. They were supposed to pick me up. They never came. We were going to go to get a burger. Da, 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 da.
And she does know about it. She's like, there was an accident and they never got here.
Yes. Yeah. And so then
Annie's like,
do you think it was right or the best choice that Annie just told her right then and there?
Yes. Because like,
I don't know. Be like, it's okay. Just get in the car. We'll talk when we get home.
Nah, just tell her.
Just tell her. Just slap in the face. Your friend is dead.
Yeah. There's no beating around a bush.
No bush beating around here. Nope. So I will say,
like, it's bad timing and it's a bad place and da 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 da.
Yeah.
But like, even just wait, like, okay. So the whole time, the whole drive home, Annie's going to be like, shit, what am I going to say to her? And Lucy in her head is going to be like, I got to call my friends and figure out where they ended up. Like, they just ditched me. Da 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 da. I'm in so much trouble. And then they get in the door and Annie's like, before you call your friends, guess what?
She's dead.
She's dead.
It's going to be a long distance call to heaven. Isn't that a song?
I don't know, but Eric can help. He's got an in.
That's true. He does. So I will say, like, I think Beverly Mitchell's a good actress, but like, she played this very, very well. It was a very good, heartbreaking scene.
There were real tears.
Her friend died.
In real life.
Mm-hmm. So,
then Lucy like holds herself up in her room. She's not grieving properly according to anybody else's grief.
Yeah.
And they're like, she's got to talk to somebody. She's got to do something. And she just has this like breakdown moment because she thinks that she's to blame.
Yeah. She like comes out in the hallway where Matt and
they're
Mary,
all standing
well,
eventually.
Matt and Mary are talking
yeah.
and Lucy busts open the door and she's like, don't you think I know? Like, this is my fault. This was all my fault. She's dead because of me. And Matt tries to stop her and say no. And Mary tries to say that's not true. And then Annie and Eric show up and she does like, they have that scene where she's pushing everybody away.
But sobbing and then
falls to the ground, and they just like don't know how to reach her.
Yeah. So then, like, it seems like a few. Oh, well, she didn't go to the funeral either,
right?
So then, a few days goes by, it seems, or something, and Mary and Lucy are like in their bedroom and they're just reading, and Lucy seems to be doing a little bit better.
Yeah.
But still nobody will talk to her. No.
She's getting the silent treatment.
She won't talk to anybody.
Listen, in this family, when someone dies, we don't talk to you about it.
So then Jen's getting out of the hospital and Eric's like, well, maybe go talk to Jen. And Lucy's like, what am I even going to say to her?
Yeah.
So then all of a sudden, Wilson shows up.
At the door. Knock, knock.
Knock, knock. And he wants to talk to Lucy. So we find out that Eric actually called Wilson to come and talk to Lucy. And he's like, to Mary, he's like, can you just tell her that I really need to talk to her about something important? And then Mary says, well, why can't you talk to me about it? And he's like, well, you're not in the club. And I was like, oh my God, the dead friend club.
DFC.
Yeah.
We're part of the DDC, the Dead Dad Club.
Yeah, it's a club.
Yeah.
Like what Wilson says, it's not a club you want to be in, though.
That's true.
It's a club you're forced to be in.
Yeah.
So he talks to Lucy and says, like, this is the club now.
Yeah, welcome.
Welcome.
We had a friend die because Wilson is referring to his baby mama who died in childbirth.
Yeah. So also, like, in that moment, he confesses his love to Lucy about Mary.
Yeah. He's also, by the way, I am really digging your sister.
But so this is where he says, but one of the reasons that I broke up with her, and Lucy's like, because of the sex thing. And he's like, no, I don't want to get close to her because I'm worried that she's going to die.
And then, yeah, Lucy was like, oh my God, me too. I'm now scared that all my friends are going to die because of me.
Like, we just met this friend. We've only known this friend at this point for about 41 minutes.
Yeah. But Wilson is like, hey, why don't you come with me? I want to take you somewhere. So they go to a place called Our Home. And it's like, it's a house.
It's like a youth grief counseling group.
Yeah. So, which,
for those of us who had their dads die when they were 12, have been to one. This guy right here. It's fine.
Was it like that? Were you sitting on a couch with a pillow?
I was sitting on...
Talking about your dead dad?
Yeah, basically. They broke us up into groups. So my brother was like with his age group and I was with my age group and my mom was with the adults.
Right.
And it was at a church.
Okay.
We didn't have many options in our tiny town.
Yeah.
And then we were actually in the next town over. And then there was... So then we kind of got like grouped together with like people who had had similar deaths.
Mm-hmm.
So I was with a kid whose dad had also died. And then he had like twin sisters, I think, that my brother was with.
Oh.
And I remember we just like shared our stories. He had like gone to go like winterize their trailer for the winter and died in a car accident on the way home.
Oh, yikes.
And I remember that.
Yeah. So yeah, they end up in group therapy and it ends up being very helpful for Lucy and everyone gives her advice.
It's funny. They're talking about like, the advice that they were given that wasn't actually advice. And that made me chuckle. Like, they're in a better place now.
And he's resting. Final resting place.
Yeah. This one kid is like, people just kept telling me that my dad was resting, but I was 7. And I just thought if he rested enough, he'd come back. I was like, whoa.
We've come a long way with therapy since 1998.
We really have.
Yeah.
Oh God. I was in that therapy though in 1994. So.
Yeah. Yeah, but it ends up being helpful. And then Lucy kind of comes back. Oh, I was going to say comes back to life.
No, she comes back around.
Comes back around.
Yeah.
And
all is well. Yes. Matt's in his big bedroom. Simon and Ruthie are
in their adjoining rooms.
Said playing with finger puppets. I didn't think that was right in my head to say.
It's not great. But
and maybe Mary and Wilson are going to get back together. Fingers crossed.
I sort of echo Annie and Eric's apprehension in that, like, do we want them to get back together? Because she's 16 and he is a kid. But he's responsible. But, like, that's a lot of responsibility.
He's single dad.
who works two jobs, who loves his kid and never stops.
Yeah. He's basically Rita. Not Rita. Is that her name?
Reba.
No. Rita. Danielle is a different person.
That is different.
Yeah.
So, anywho.
Yeah. All right.
Kind of short and sweet.
Yeah. I mean.
But.
Just like
Sarah's life.
Sarah's luck.
What do we got next week?
Okay. It's called, it looks like there's a big break. This next one didn't come out till April 6th. I wonder if they took like a break for Easter or something back then. When the Camdens host a French foreign exchange student, everyone seems to be getting in trouble.
Oh boy.
I think I've seen a clip of this one on TikTok.
It's bad.
It's bad.
It's real bad. But speaking of clips, if you want to see some of the clips from the episodes we cover, go check out Instagram and TikTok. Just look up Seventh Heaven, a Lesbian Recap. And there wasn't really good clips in this episode.
Unless you want to see like some like
sad things.
Sad crying death. Although we did film Annie's dad crying in a boat after the mom died.
Yeah, because he's in a boat in the middle of the yard. It was funny.
Yeah. It was really funny.
This was less funny, but we'll see. Maybe we'll rewatch it and see if there's a clip or two.
Yeah.
And yeah, check out our Patreon. Leave us a review. Share us with your friends. And drop us a note. Say hello.
Yeah. Share us with your friends.
All right. Okay. Bye. Bye.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey there. Welcome to Seventh Heaven, a Lesbian Recap. I'm Lindsay, and I'm joined by my co-host and real-life partner, Carling. We're diving into the 90s hit drama through today's lens.
Get ready for our off-the-cuff commentary and peeling back the layers of the Camden family. We'll tackle everything from family rules, life lessons, and 90s fashion.
Join us every week for a lighthearted queer perspective and a trip down memory lane.
Whether you're a diehard fan or new to the show, this recap is for you.
So find us anywhere you get your podcasts at Seventh Heaven, a Lesbian Recap.